Would you turn with me, please, this morning to the little epistle of Jude? Jude, please. It comes just before the book of Revelation. The epistle of Jude. And when you're finding the place, I want to thank our brother David once again for his words, for his invitation to be with you. Thank you indeed for having me, and thank you for coming out. And the Lord bless his word to all our hearts this morning for his dear name's sake. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Christ Jesus and called. You can also read that. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are beloved by God the Father and kept in Jesus Christ and called. To those that are beloved, kept and called by God the Father, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And then Jude said this, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And may the good Lord bless to our hearts that reading from his own precious word for his dear name's sake. I want to speak to you this morning on our salvation. Jude calls it our common salvation. But it is only common to those that are beloved of God, kept in Christ Jesus, and who have been called. And in that sense, it is a common portion of all believers. The common portion of all the unregenerate and unsaved will be eternal separation from God. The second death, which is called the lake of fire. But Jude is writing to those that are beloved, and he actually calls them beloved. He says, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the salvation and all the blessings of salvation, which is the common portion of us all, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. The faith, the whole body of scriptural truth, as we find it in the word of the living God. Now I want to speak to you this morning on our common salvation. On our salvation, how it is defined in the scriptures. How it is denominated in the scriptures. And how it is delivered through the scriptures, through the preaching of the word. And how our salvation is defended by the scriptures of truth. And so, beloved, we come to think of our salvation. How is our salvation defined by the word of God? The Apostle Paul, in writing to Titus, his own son in the faith, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. to all those who are rejoicing in God's salvation. Not only Jude, but Paul also desires that we might know the mercy and the peace and the love of God in our hearts and in our souls, daily and continually. But how is our salvation defined in the Word of the Living God? What is salvation? Well, salvation is man's greatest need met by God's great supply to meet that need. And only God himself could supply and meet the need of men who were dead in trespasses and in sins, and walking afar off from God, going down a broad road that was leading to eternal destruction and separation from God. When the salvation of God is in three tenses in the Scriptures, it is defined in three tenses: past, present, and future. We who have come to saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ have been saved from the penalty and the deserts of sin by Christ's victorious death on the cross. My sins deserved eternal death, but Jesus died for me. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Salvation in the past tense. But in the present tense, we are being saved from the power and dominion of sin by the indwelling Spirit, and by the power of Christ's intercession for us at the throne of grace. For he ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. And salvation in the future tense is defined by this tremendous truth, that we shall be saved from the very presence and the very disgrace of sin. Because when Jesus comes again and he takes his own loved ones out of this world, we shall be saved from the very disgrace and presence of sin, and there shall in no wise enter into it, God's heaven, the Father's house, anything that defileth or maketh a lie. Salvation divine, it's defined through our redemption that Christ obtained for us at the place called Calvary, when he shed his precious blood in order that he might redeem us. For at the place called Calvary, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their transgressions unto us, but instead of imputing sin and transgression to us, through faith in Christ, God imputes a robe of his own righteousness to us. And the righteousness of God is unto all and upon all who are reconciled to God through the work of the cross. Redemption, reconciliation, and thank God, salvation is defined by our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You see, dear friends, salvation is the work of God and the work of God alone. God, our Heavenly Father, is the author of eternal salvation. The very mind of God planned our salvation from before the foundation of the world. In creation, God showed his powerful hand. But in the work of salvation, he reveals a passionate heart for those that are dead in trespasses and in sins. Thank God, Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's the only Savior. He's the only way to God. And by faith in him, he unites all that believe in one body, the church. And saith Jude, we are beloved. We are kept in Jesus Christ. And thank God, we are called in one body through the work of the cross. Hallelujah. What a Savior. As Matthew Henry said, Christ is not only the Savior, but salvation itself. Do you want to define salvation? Then look at Jesus Christ. When Joseph and Mary brought him up into the temple to present them to the Lord, and the old priest Simeon came in, and when he looked at the babe, when he looked at it in his hands, he said, Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen what? Thy salvation. And the salvation of God is only in his Son. Jesus Christ is not only salvation, as Matthew Henry said, and well said, but salvation itself. Secondly, how is our salvation denominated? It's denominated as our common salvation. One way for all. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Simon Peter said this, that he was a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he was writing to exhort those that have obtained like precious faith as himself. And this like precious faith was only in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis, the great Oxford scholar, said this, I have no rights to work out my own salvation in any way I choose. If a man or a woman is going to be saved, then it must be God's way. And God's way is through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It's the way of the cross leads home. And there's no other way but this. And the gates of light we would ne'er gain sight if the way of the cross we miss. We can only be reconciled to God through the death of his Son. You see, God demands perfection. And that is why salvation must be by grace and by grace alone, and why works are not sufficient to meet the need. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Friends, do you see how salvation is defined? Do you see this morning how salvation is denominated? It's a common salvation, but it's only common to all those that are beloved of God, called and set apart in Jesus Christ, and who are redeemed and ransomed through the precious, precious shed blood of the cross. Now I want to look at salvation delivered. And how is salvation delivered? Well, I want to turn you to 1 Corinthians and chapter 4. And we will soon see how salvation is delivered. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let a man account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing of myself. Yet am I not thereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then every man shall receive praise of God. My salvation was delivered. How? Through the preaching of the cross. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of the cross. Brethren and sisters, judge nothing before the time. But listen to it. As stewards and custodians of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us be faithful and let us preach content earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We are to be faithful. He that has called us is faithful. And we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And we are to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to whom? To the saints. And it's only those who are called of God, beloved of God, set apart in Christ, and chosen by God as his instruments, as his servants, to go forth and preach and teach the gospel and hold it fast. You see, God has set apart some apostles, some preachers, some teachers, and some evangelists. And what is the work of an evangelist? To preach the word. Preach the gospel. And what is the purpose of the teacher? It's to teach the word. And don't get them mixed up now. The evangelist preaches the gospel. He doesn't teach the gospel. He preaches the gospel. But the teacher, he teaches the word. The whole truth of God. And there are teachers who teach the word. And there are evangelists who preach the gospel. In its fullness. In its simplicity. That men and women may be called to saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Timothy a moment, please. 2 Timothy. On chapter 1. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, please. And we're reading verses 13 and 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. Hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast to the truth, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The good things which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they that are in Asia are turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my bond. Sometimes the preaching of the gospel will bring us into opposition from the world. My dear friend, listen. The gospel was not committed to the unsaved, but it was committed to the saints, to those who were born again of the Spirit of the living God. It's to the saints that Jude is writing, that we should contend earnestly for that faith that was delivered unto them. You see, dear friends, we are to preach Christ and Him crucified. In Luke's Gospel, on chapter 4, and in verse 18, we read these words, well worth remembering. The Lord Jesus saith, in Luke's Gospel in chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me, what to do? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to what? Preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we're in the acceptable year of the Lord, and we should be preaching the gospel. And it's only through the gospel that God can set men free. Not through dead empty religion, my dear friend. Many men have religion, but they don't have redemption. And what we need is Christ. And we need to hold forth the truth. And finally, we want to look at salvation defended. Jude says, contend for the faith. But brethren and sisters, listen. We are not to be contentious. We are to follow the example of our blessed Savior. He went through the towns, the cities, and the streets of Israel. And he simply preached the word. That's what God sent him to do. To preach the word. And he says, the words that I preach unto you, they are not my own words, but they are the words of him that sent me. And here's a word that we must preach to all men everywhere. It is the word of Christ that was given to one of the religious elite of his day. His name was Nicodemus. And he says to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And ye must be born again, or never enter heaven. 'Tis only twice born ones go there. The ransomed and forgiven. The truth has to be contended for. Christ didn't lift up his voice in the streets in a riotous way or anything like that. He didn't cause confusion. He didn't cause rows. He just preached the word. And we had to do the same. To preach the word that was once delivered to the saints. You see, my dear friends, we are to contend for the faith, the truth, concerning salvation. The faith that unites us to God through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. we must preach the truth, no matter what it costs us. And we must hold to the truth. You see, my dear friends, as you and I contend earnestly for the faith, as we seek to defend the faith, we are declaring this, that Christ and Christ alone is the final word about salvation. Here, in this matter of salvation, he is not only without peer, he's without competitor. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, the mind of God planned and purposed salvation from all eternity. Christ accomplished that salvation at the place called Calvary. And the Holy Spirit of truth, through the preaching of the gospel, becomes the administrator of that salvation high through the new birth. And for this reason, the church has been the battleground for ages. Let me say that there are no new errors, no new assaults, no new arguments against the faith. They are all old as time itself. And they are all old heresies dressed up in a new garb. We talk about new ageism. My dear friend, that's not new. Let me tell you, it's old heresy. Away back from the days of the Colossians, and Paul wrote against it. Beloved, there is no need to fear that God's word will fail. It cannot fail. Men's opinions may change with the changing of the ages and generations, but thank God, God's word can never ever change. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself promised that his word would never ever pass away. How shall we then contend for the faith? To the saints, this message comes, this word comes. We can be faithful in obedience to his precepts by faithful confession of its power to save, by living in the light as our Saviour is in the light, and to walk in the ways that are worthy of him. Follow his example. His Heavenly Father rent the heavens on numerous occasions, and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found all my delight, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Preach Christ and him crucified." Preach the word. Contend for the faith. Read it. Preach it. Teach it. And above all, live it. May God bless you. God's salvation, and we have it in his word. We have it, beloved. We have it defined. We have it denominated. We have it delivered. And thank God, we have it defended. And God's word will never fail. Keep going on. Take your stand for Christ, and it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase, so gladly run the race till we see Christ. You see, the saints are on the victory side. How do I know that? I've read on numerous occasions the last book of our Bible, the book of the Revelation, and the saints are with Christ in glory. We're on the victory side. He cannot fail. Trust him and go on with him. That's our salvation, and it's a great salvation. But those that neglect it might well have grounds to fear. But for those that believe, we're on the victory side. We're almost home. We're almost there. Keep going on in faith. God bless you. Amen and amen. Lord, bless your word to all the hearts of your dear people. Help us in these days to be conscious of this great truth, that Christ lives, and he ever lives in the power of an endless life. And through faith in him, we can be victorious each step of the way. Give your dear people here the victory again and again and again. Separate us now, we pray, in your fear and with your favour, for Christ our Saviour's sake we ask it. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you.